answering this question today. So, is Jesus God? In our overarching study, we're looking at Christology, or the study of Christ, the study of Jesus. As Christ, He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. So we're going to ask the question, was He God? Because that's an important question. All right, you can talk to any number of people. You can do a quick Google search and find this, and it will say this to some extent, that Jesus never claimed to be God. Anyone ever heard that before? All right, so we're going to answer that. Did Jesus ever claim to be God? I say yes. And additionally, how is Jesus God? Well, He has the attributes of God. What are attributes? Someone remind me of that word. We've used it multiple times. Characteristics. Characteristics, so adjectives. Okay? They are things that you can attribute to an individual. So, what are these attributes? Okay? Well, Jesus is eternal. Okay? So, if Jesus never claimed to be God, why would He claim to be eternal? So, He's claiming to be an eternal being outside of being God. Okay, that's not going to make a whole lot of sense. But where does Jesus claim eternality? Well, in John chapter 8, verse 58, someone want to read that for us? It's there on the screen. You don't even have to look it up. Okay, I'll start volunteering some people. Great. Okay. All right, James, you dodged it this time. Go ahead.
Jesus said to them, "True, true, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
All right, so He says, before Abraham was, someone help me out. How long before Jesus was Abraham?
2,000 years. A long time.
How long, Zedekiah?
2,000 years.
2,000 years? Yeah, I'd probably back it up to a little bit more than that. Well, maybe 2,000. It just depends. There are some gray areas in the genealogies. 2,000 to 2,500, somewhere in that ballpark. So how can Jesus say that before Abraham was, that he was? I existed. How can Jesus say that? What's the only solution?
He antedates.
Okay, that He antedates. Really, the antedate? You've been waiting your whole life to use that word in a conversation, haven't you? What does antedate mean for the...
He existed before.
Okay. Wouldn't anta be after? Would predate be before?
I learned it in Bible class.
That anta was after.
It is. That was time.
Oh, it's both anta and pre? He anta predates. Antedates. All right. So, He says, before Abraham was, I am.
Precede in time, come before something.
Okay. All right. So, before Abraham was, I am. Now, we see that word, I am. What should you be thinking of when you see the word, I am, when Jesus says, I am? Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. All right. Blake says the burning bush. Someone other than Blake, help us get to what is I am. What is I am from the burning bush? Okay. Ben says God. How so? Because God said He was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give me a little bit. Come on. Fill in the story here, Ben. That's what I'm looking for. I want the story filled in. Good. So Moses says, who do I say sent me? And the bush responds with?
I am.
All right. The bush responds with, I am. Which means, I am God. This is... the equivalent of saying the name of God. It's the existent one. So, do you guys understand what the name Yahweh means?
Yes.
What's it mean? It means God. Okay, so Elohim means God. Okay, Yahweh is what? It's the name of the Lord, right? Okay. But the name Yahweh is not just like a proper noun, okay? It is actually a statement. What is the statement, Yahweh?
I am.
It's I am. It's I exist. Okay? It's I am in existence. So when God says to Moses at the burning bush, I am that I am sent you, the self-existent one sent you, Yahweh sent you, okay? He's saying, I am. So when Jesus, so did Jesus claim to be God? The answer is yes. Well, where did he do that? Well, John 8:58, he does that because he says before Abraham was, before Abraham existed, he claims that title of I am. Okay? And in the context, they get extremely mad at him over this. John chapter 17. All right, let's get another volunteer. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate your willingness to read. John 17, verse 5. I have it for you. I have it for you. All right, Jesus says, Father, glorify me in your presence. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer where he prays for those that are to be left. And this is his prayer of close connection with his Father. He asks for this. What is it that Jesus is asking for? Don't just read the verse for me again. Explain what the verse is saying. What is Jesus asking his Father to do for him? What does Jesus want? Okay, I want my glorified state back. And when did I have my glorified state, Tyler?
Before
creation. So how can Jesus, if he is not God, claim not only his eternality? Well, how does he do that? He says, well, before Abraham was around, I was the self-existent one. And he says to his Father, please return to me the glory that I had when I was with you back before we created the world. Okay? You guys tracking? So, did Jesus claim to be God? The answer is yes. He also has the attributes of God. All right, then we get to his omnipresence. What does omnipresent mean? There are three of these omnis. We've looked at them before because we looked at them with God, which is how we can connect Jesus with God. Is Jesus God? The answer is yes. Why? Because he has the same characteristics. So the list of characteristics that we looked at with God, we looked at different verses to explain those. But now we're looking specifically at Jesus. So Jesus is omnipresent. What does omnipresent mean?
Everywhere.
Look at you guys. So synchronized. All right? Everywhere at once. Okay? Omni means all present. Okay? You know what present means. You're here. Matthew 18, verse 20. I need a volunteer. Trevor. Read that for me.
For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them.
All right. So Jesus says where two or three are gathered, Matthew chapter 18, that particular passage is referring to, he addresses church discipline, and then he talks about how when the church makes the decision, it's kind of sealed. And he says the reason why this happens is because where two or three are gathered, there I am. Okay, so if two or three are gathered in North Carolina and two or three are gathered in Nevada, okay, is Jesus in both places? All right, here's a question for you. Is Jesus in bodily form currently?
Not on earth.
Okay, so he's not in bodily form on earth. So is he in bodily form elsewhere?
Yes.
Okay. So how is someone who is bound by bodily form in every location in which two or three people are gathered together in the name of Christ? But he said, I'm there. Okay, so we think of omnipresence, and I'm kind of, you know, pushing you guys to kind of confuse you. Okay, because you would think if he's bound in bodily form, you're bound in bodily form, right? Okay? Josh is clearly right here. Okay? We see Josh. But is it possible, all right, let's use an analogy for a second. Is it possible for Josh to have visibility on a situation that's happening in another room? He could. He could be looking at a camera. He could be FaceTiming someone. Okay, he could be here. He could be FaceTiming his mom in another room and see what's going on there. And so he could have that. He's got visibility in two rooms. Okay? Maybe he's on security and he's sitting in our security station and he can see all the cameras on the campus. Okay, then he can kind of see. But is he actually there? No, he's not. So even the ability to see what's going on doesn't actually mean he's there. Even with audio, okay, and you can hear what's going on, you're still not actually there. But some way, Jesus is able to be both bodily form at the right hand of the Father, yet also present with those who are with him. Now, I'm sure we could make an argument that this is through the Holy Spirit, but that's not what he says. I would make the case that because Jesus is God, he possesses every attribute of God, including omnipresence. And so while bound in bodily form, he can still simultaneously be elsewhere. How can he do that? Because he's God. Okay? You're not bound by things when you're God. In Matthew chapter 28, at the end of the book, this is in the Great Commission. Jesus says, who's going to read for us now? All right, Blake, thanks. Matthew 28, verse 20. All right, Jesus says, I'm with you always. Even though he says he's going to send his Holy Spirit, he tells them, if I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter to come in after me. But then he tells them, I'm with you. And then we see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, you already read, James. Iris?
I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
All right, so if Jesus, in Revelation chapter 1, claims to be the Alpha and the Omega, he is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. So he is past, present, and future. If he's in all those places and all times, he must be omnipresent. We also see that he's omniscient. What does omniscient mean? All-knowing. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Addison, you told us it was all-knowing. How about you read this verse for us? All right, so Jesus says, or he starts showing to his disciples, that he is going to go to Jerusalem, and he is going to suffer many things. So how does Jesus know this is going to happen? He knows everything. He's all-knowing. How can Jesus know what's going to happen to him in the future if he is not all-knowing and thereby God? All right, Jesus also, not only did he know what was going to happen to him, he knew the thoughts of other people. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and we covered this one a while back. But Jesus perceives that the Pharisees are thinking evil things. And so what does he ask them? He says he knows their thoughts and their hearts. Why do you think evil in your hearts? Because he knew their intentions. In John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, I need a volunteer for this one. All right, Zedekiah.
But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about them, for he himself knew what was in them.
All right. Well, John, writing about Jesus, says that Christ knew what was going on inside of mankind. It's also acknowledged by his disciples, that his disciples are like, oh, you obviously know everything. That's in John 16:30. Let me get another volunteer. Oh yeah, he's answered questions. He hasn't read yet. All right, Tyler, go ahead and read for us.
Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God.
All right. So the disciples, they believe that he came from God and that he knows all things. I think that kind of seals the deal. At least the disciples believed it. All right, and our last omni of the three. Omnipotent. What's omnipotent mean, Jeremy? All-powerful. Sam, we got Matthew 28:18 on the screen, where we're going to talk about the power that Jesus has. Will you read that for us?
Jesus came to set all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him.
All right. So when Jesus says he has all authority, does that mean he has all the authority? Okay, either what he claims is true or it's not. And then we also see in Mark chapter 5 that he has power over demons. We've looked at that in Matthew as well, that the demons have to listen to him. In John 11, anyone know who's raised from the dead in John 11?
Lazarus.
Yes, Lazarus. All right, and Jesus has power over death. So he's all-powerful. Matthew 28, that's the end of his first advent when he is ready to ascend into heaven. He tells the disciples that all power and all authority has been given to me, therefore I'm telling you to go do this. But he also demonstrated prior to that that he had power over everything else because he has conquered disease, he conquered demons, he's conquered death. There wasn't anything that was not subject to his power. But then we see self-existent. This is back to that I am concept that we saw in his eternality. John chapter 5, verse 26.
Check.
Yeah, we'll just take out the whole corner here. All right. All right, so he says that the Son has life in himself. What is? Do you guys have life in yourself?
No.
Well, yes and no, right? What does he mean when he says life in himself? What does it mean that Christ has life in himself?
He can create life.
Okay, hold on. Back up a second. John chapter 5, verse 26. Why are we looking at this verse? We're making the argument that Christ is God because he is what?
Self-existent.
He's self-existent. What does self-existent mean, Nathaniel?
You live all by yourself, but we live because God gave us.
Okay, you said live all by yourself. Let's clarify that a little, because there's a difference between what we mean by self-existent and someone who just lives alone.
God has always existed, but he made us at the beginning. He brought life to us.
Okay, I think we can even clarify it more than just always existed. What does it mean that he's self-existent? All right, let's ask this question. All right, Yuri, did you eat breakfast this morning? Did you eat dinner last night? Do you require food to stay alive? Yes. Okay. So Yuri is not self-existent because he requires food. James, did you drink any water this morning? Can you go a day without drinking water? You might. I mean, can you go your whole life without drinking water? All right, James is not self-existent because he requires water to exist.
Your life is 3 days long.
Technically, yeah. I don't know that you would be self-existent then because you only made it 3 days.
But during those 3 days, you would be.
Yes. But here's a question for you. Did you come into the world by yourself?
No.
Well, then you weren't self-existent. Okay, when we say self-existent, we mean he requires nothing else for him to be in existence. In and of his own self is all that he needs. So just as the Father in himself has that life, that he does not need anything. He does not need food. He does not require rest. He does not require anything to function. Because he has all that he needs within himself, the Son has the exact same thing. Then we get to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16. Who hasn't read for us yet? We got a long list of people that haven't read for us yet. Jeremy, you haven't read yet. Hebrews 7, 16. Don't worry, once you read, then you're done. And you could be like, I read. So it's someone else's turn.
Who has become a priest not on the basis of believing on the requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of intercession.
All right. So in Hebrews chapter 7 and all throughout the book of Hebrews, the author makes a case that Jesus is the best high priest, that he is a greater high priest, partially because he comes from a different priestly order than the tribe of Aaron and Levi. But this particular passage says that Jesus is a priest, not because of the legal requirements, not because of where he came from. Why is Jesus qualified to be a priest? Yes. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. But according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16, why is it that Jesus is qualified to be a priest? It's not on the basis of legal requirements. It is on the basis of what?
Power of indestructible life.
He's got the power of an indestructible life. If you cannot kill him, that's indestructible. And so because he is indestructible, all right, he's the original superhero, all right, that he is qualified to be a high priest. He's immutable. Anyone know what this means?
Yes.
Okay, Blake, tell us what it means then.
Oh, he doesn't change ever.
Right, he does not change. How many of you hear the word immutable and you're like, oh, you can't turn the volume off? Yeah, that's not what it means. Okay, mutilate. That's good dark sense of humor you got there. All right. Mutation is the same. Okay, that's where the M-U-T comes from. So I am the prefix meaning not changing, okay? So Hebrews 13, verse 8. Zach. You've already read James, okay? Yeah, we got another Zach to read. Come on. This is super simple. You got this, Zach. We're all counting on you. All right, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Zach, based upon Hebrews 13, 8, does Jesus change?
No.
Is he the same? Okay. So either he's the same and he doesn't change, or this verse is wrong. Oh, yeah? All right. Christ is also holy. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. Sterling, you're visiting with us today. Would you like to read? All right, go for it.
It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens.
All right, so another Hebrews passage. Christ is holy. All right, now it says it was indeed fitting to have such a high priest. Now we looked at it over here. Hebrews 7:16 tells us that someone has become a high priest because he had the indestructible life. Who was that?
Jesus.
All right. And under self-existent, he had an indestructible life. But that high priest, it's fitting that we have that high priest. What else do we learn about that high priest from Hebrews 7:26? That he is holy? What does holy mean?
Set apart.
No, perfect, set apart, sacred. Righteous. Okay, that he is holy, he's innocent, he is free of guilt, free of sin, he is unstained, separated from sinners, and he is exalted above the heavens. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered her, okay, oh, Ashley and Rachel left, they got out of it. Who else is in my Bible class right now? You just came in. But so did Trevor, all right, and Zach, all right. Trevor, we just looked at this one this week. You were there, right? Josh, were you paying attention to this point in class this week? All right. So, Josh, have you read for us yet? All right, so then you could tell, I'll read. I'll read, and then you could tell me, what was that other concept we see out of here? And the angel answered her, speaking to Mary, on how this baby is going to be born. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born to you will be called holy, the Son of God. All right. What other concept do we see in this passage, Josh? We were talking about it in the Bible this week. Jeremy's telling it to you. All right. There you go. The Trinity. You see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in there. But we also see that Christ is being called holy. All right. So, we asked the question this morning, and we went through them quickly because we got started a little late, thanks to an issue in nursery. But, we asked the question, is Jesus God? The answer is yes, because he has the attributes of God. So, next time we're together, we'll pick up with, is Jesus God? The answer is yes, because he does the work of God.